Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is 1 John 1 verse 5 through to chapter 2 verse 2. So you can begin looking that up now. This sermon was recorded live at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and the preacher is Ryan Smith from Reforming Church, who works with the Australian Fellowship of Evangelical Students, supporting the work of the Christian Union at La Trobe Uni, Bendigo. And so let's read the passage. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the Saviour. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
I think I've met most of you before, but if you haven't met me for some reason, my name's Ryan. I'm here with the university work at La Trobe. I work with university students proclaiming Jesus there, but I also am an elder at Reforming Church here. My original plan this morning was that when Jesse asked me to preach, I was going to come because I'm preaching this week at university from John's Gospel, and I thought I'll just preach that. But it turns out you guys have just been going through John's Gospel, I think, and so the passage I was going to preach, I think Jesse's just done it. And so I plan to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to preach something else. I want to talk this morning about prayer. So what would be helpful, something that I could talk about that would be useful? And I think prayer is something that's absolutely fundamental to the Christian life. And so I want to preach a talk I preached a little while ago at the uni. It's part of a series. We talked about praying to the Father through the Son by the Spirit. But I want us to think particularly about how is it that we're able to pray? Because I think prayer is something that we often take for granted. But since I'm going to preach on prayer, it'd be silly of me to do that without praying. So let me pray, and then we'll open up God's Word together. If you can keep your Bibles open at 1 John chapter 1 as well, that's where we'll be this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the amazing gift that is from you that we can come to you and that we can pray, that we can share the things on our hearts, our concerns, our troubles. And thank you that you hear us. That's amazing, and we often take that for granted. I pray for this time now that you would take my words and that you would give them power, that you would help them to be useful and help to grow all of us as we think about prayer, not for my sake, but so that Jesus might be glorified. And I pray this in his name. Amen. Now, I think I've been to Eagle Hawk around about 10 times over the years. And I think I might have told this story before that I'm about to tell, but that's okay because that's kind of the point, right? But sometimes we need to hear things and be reminded of them. So anyway, there was a man and his wife and a couple. They had some friends over for dinner and they had dinner together. And then after dinner, the men paired off and the women paired off and the guys are chatting among themselves. And this guy says to his friend, starts telling him about a really good restaurant that he went to recently. He said, the food was great, the service was excellent, the price was reasonable. And his friend said to him, what was the name of the restaurant? He says, the name. I know. What's the name of that flower? He's like, I don't know, daisy? No, the red one. Carnation? No. Poppy? No. No, the one with thorns. He says, rose? He's like, yeah, that's right. Hey, Rose, what was the name of that restaurant we went to the other day? See, the point is that sometimes we forget things that we really shouldn't. Sometimes we need to be reminded about things that are absolutely obvious. And I think when it comes to us as Christians, prayer is something that kind of falls into that category. It should be obvious to us that praying is a good idea. It should be obvious to us to pray. But so often we don't. And so I want to remind us of something this morning which should be obvious. We shouldn't need to be told this, but it's a good thing to pray, and I want to remind us about that. Not only that we should pray, which we should, but also want to remind us how it is that we're actually able to pray. How is it that we're able to approach God, the holy God that we read about in Numbers earlier? How can we approach that God and pray to him? Well, the answer is through the Son, through the Lord Jesus. In order to help us do that, take a look with me at 1 John chapter 1. To help us understand the work of Jesus when it comes to prayer, I need to begin with the problem of prayer. And that actually begins with God himself. If you have a look there at 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, John writes this. He says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." You see, when you think about the God that we pray to, he is light. In him there is no darkness. There's no dark side to God. There are no hidden flaws in God's character or his nature. He is perfect. He's a God of perfect love and justice and holiness. His eyes are too pure to look on evil, and he cannot tolerate wrong. Not even a little bit. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. That's what John says. But what about us? Have a look at verse 8. John writes, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." We'll have a look at verse 10. He says, "If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." You see, unlike God, we do have a dark side. I have a dark side. You have a dark side. We have what the Bible calls sin. We're sinners. We're people who actually live in rebellion against God. I don't know if you think back to the pandemic, and we had scenes of people fighting in the supermarket over toilet paper. How is it that something that silly is able to happen? Well, we see people protesting in the streets, angry at how we as humanity are treating each other. I recently heard from someone who does the same work as me at another university campus. He was saying that at a campus in Sydney, he'd been talking to a lecturer, and they found out that last semester, at least, and I don't know how they measure this, but they reckon about at least 25% of students had cheated in online exams last semester. How does that happen? Well, let me tell you, it's not because 25% of students are bad. 100% of us are bad. What stops us, if it does stop us, cheating on exams or on other things, is usually only the fact that we think that we might be able to get away with it. We think someone will find out. There will be consequences. See, if you thought no one would find out, I think you and I, you would be amazed to see what you would do, what I would do. Stealing. Now, you might not walk into a store and steal something straight off the shelf. But maybe you might be tempted to take some music files that you haven't paid for off a website, or video files you don't have legal access to, copyrighted images. That's stealing. If no one's watching us, no one's going to find out. We're not going to be prosecuted for it, probably. That's fine. You might think, I would never hurt anyone physically. But we will say all sorts of really hurtful things about people If we think they're not going to hear, if it's going to go unseen by them, we'll do that. You might think, I would never kill anyone. But maybe we would be happy to learn that someone we hadn't liked had died. Even if we didn't do that ourselves, we might be happy about that, or we might have a heart-level hate towards someone that's just as bad. You might think, I would never cheat on my spouse. But if no one sees and it's in the privacy of your own bedroom or just in your own mind, just lusting after someone who's not your spouse, that's the same thing. You see, if we think no one's going to see it or find out, we would do just about anything. We do all sorts of things that are wrong and destructive that hurt people, not to mention the way that we treat God. Have you ever had a friend who'll only contact you when they need something? They don't really care about you, but you have something that they need, and so they'll come to you and they'll ask you about it. That's really horrible, isn't it? That's a really bad way to treat someone. But often we treat God like that. We'll ignore him most of the time, except when we desperately need him to do something for us. Then we're interested in talking to him, in having a relationship. That is a terrible way to treat anyone, let alone the God who gives us life and breath and all good things. See, John says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. God is light and we are dark. God is perfect and we are desperately sinful. And this is where we get the problem of prayer. I don't know if you've thought about it. But the problem of how do you have relationship with a God who is perfect in his holiness and he can't have anything to do with evil? How do you reconcile those two things? 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, have a look at verse 6. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him and while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. You see, you can't have fellowship with God while walking in darkness. Now that word there, fellowship, it means to share. It says we can't share in relationship with God while we're walking in the darkness. That's impossible. Light and darkness are incompatible. They don't go together. When I was a kid, I can remember my grandmother, she had this saying, it was fashion advice. She used to say, and I don't know if you've ever taken fashion advice from your grandmother. I especially don't know if you've listened to any fashion advice from your grandmother. But my grandma would say, she would say, blue and green should never be seen unless there's something in between. She was saying, don't wear blue with green. From a fashion sense, blue and green don't go together. They're not compatible. Now that's, at least for me as a guy, that is somewhat trivial. But what's not trivial is sin in a perfectly holy, righteous, just God of all the universe. Those two things, the perfectly holy and just God and sin, they do not go together. Absolutely not. Not even a little bit. There's no glass of water here for me, but you can't take a... I don't need one, but... you can't take a glass of water and just add a little bit of poison to it and drink it. Like, they don't go together, right? It corrupts the whole thing. And so God can't accept even the slightest hint of sin. Well, the result of that is death. See, as a sinner, to think that I could just waltz up to the God of all the universe without having my sin dealt with, that there's no problem with that, that I'd be able to stand before him, let alone have him listen to me and answer me without wiping me out, to think that we could do that, is to seriously misjudge and misunderstand how offensive sin is to God. See, unless we have our sin dealt with, we have a massive problem when it comes to approaching God in prayer. How can sinners come to a perfectly holy God and have him hear us? How can we possibly think sinners could do that? How could we come to the Father with boldness, with confidence? Well, the answer is, of course, through the Son, through Jesus. Because do you know who didn't have a sin problem? Jesus. If we're going to come to God, we have the problem of our sin, but that has never been a problem for Jesus. If anyone could come to God confident that God would hear their prayer, confident that God would answer them, it's Jesus. And so quickly, I want to take a look at a prayer of Jesus, and this was why I had us read Mark 14. Leave a marker in 1 John, because we're going to go straight back there. But I want us to look at Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he's about to be betrayed and then go to the cross. Mark chapter 14, verse 33, it says this. And he, that is Jesus, he took with him Peter and James and John, and he began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and he prayed that if it were possible, that the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." You see, Jesus comes before his Father, greatly troubled, greatly distressed, and he falls to the ground and he asks God for this. He asks, "God, remove this cup from me." Now, the cup that Jesus is referring to here is actually an allusion to the Old Testament. He's talking about drinking the cup of God's wrath, God's anger. He's talking about taking the punishment for sin. And Jesus acknowledges that for his Father, all things are possible. If God wanted to, God could save Jesus from going to the cross. And Jesus, obviously, would prefer to not be cut off and forsaken by his Father. It's something that he had never known or experienced. And yet, as much as Jesus didn't want that, he does want it. What he actually wants is to please his Father. And he knows the only way that we can have access to the Father, the only way you and I can have access to the Father, is if he is cut off. And so he prays. This is ultimately his prayer. He says, "Yet not what I will, but what you will." Jesus then is betrayed right after this, and he goes and he's crucified. But my question is, so what is God's answer to Jesus' prayer? Well, I hope you can see that God's answer to Jesus' prayer is that he wants to have relationship with us. God wants that. He wants relationship with us. And so Jesus has to go to the cross. It's the only way that we can have access to God and for God to still be perfectly good. Jesus' death is the only way for us to have our sin dealt with. It's the only way for us to share in relationship with God. So if you've ever wondered, why is it that Jesus came and died? This is why. Jesus is like a lightning rod. Bear with me. So Jesus, when he's dying, is like a lightning rod. Now, I don't know if you know much about lightning rods. They put them on buildings. And the idea is that the rod that they put up will take all the force of a lightning strike. It's like when the lightning comes down, it will hit the rod and it will take the force of the strike. So I want you to imagine, if you can imagine this, that at a particular moment in history, as Jesus is dying on the cross, Jesus is actually taking the full force of God's white hot anger at all of humanity's sin for all time. It's all converged down in a single point to a moment in history as Jesus is on the cross and he's crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, Jesus is taking all of the punishment for our sin. If God is going to do what's right, which he has to do because he's God, sin has to be punished. The rightful punishment for sin is death. And so Jesus' perfect life is sacrificed for our sin. Jesus is cut off so that we can have access. It's because of this that we can read back in 1 John. If you go flick back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. John says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Or verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does it mean to walk in the light? It means to bring our sin to God, to bring it out into the light, to confess it, and to put our trust in Jesus' death in our place. His blood, as it says there, which cleanses us from all sin so that we might have forgiveness with God. And so are we to go on sinning? Well, John writes, chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, the obvious response to our sin as we look to Jesus is to kill our sin, to get rid of it, to put it off. This should be our attitude to our sin. And so John writes, he says, I write to you so you won't sin. But he also knows that we fail at doing this, and so he says, he also wants us to know that we have an advocate who speaks in our defense, the Son, the Lord Jesus. See, because Jesus is the propitiation for our sin, some translations might say the sacrifice of atonement, something like that, for our sin. It just means that he's paid for our sin, he's turned away God's anger. Even though we sin, because of Jesus, our sin is no longer a barrier between us coming to God. Because of Jesus' death, we can come to God with full access. And so, just to finish up, I want us to think about what does that all mean for our praying? I hope you can see how Jesus deals with the problem of our sin, how he repairs the relational barrier between us and God so that we can come before God fully accepted and we can pray to him as our Father. That's an amazing thing that we can do that. But I hope you can also see that not only does Jesus solve our sin problem, he's the only one who can solve our sin problem. So that means that if we want to come to God and pray to him as our Father, and if we want to have confidence that he will listen to us and hear us, the only way that we can do that is through Jesus. As Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If we want to have a relationship with God, the only way to do that is through Jesus. The way to have a relationship with God is to come into the light, to acknowledge our sin before God, to confess it, to trust in what Jesus has done at the cross, how he's died in our place to bring us forgiveness. Now, I don't know all of you personally. I don't know where you're at in terms of your relationship with God. It may be that this is brand new to you. It may be that this morning you've understood for the first time that you have a problem of sin and that you need Jesus. If that is you, I'm so glad that you've joined us. If you've been convicted of your sin, if you've realized your need for Jesus, if you want to begin a relationship with God, here's how you do that. Pray to him. You can do that. Just tell him that you're sorry for your sin, that you want to put your trust in Jesus. If that's you, I'm sure that there's people here at Eagle Hawk who would love to talk to you more about that. But just finally, for those of us who have known Jesus for a little while, I hope you can see how amazing it is that through Jesus we can actually come before God, the God of all the universe, and we can pray to him as our Father. That is a really amazing gift. And given that we can do that, it's amazing also that so often we don't do that. We have access to the God of the universe. We can come to him and we can pray to him as a Father. And yet, so often we don't do that. And I think a big part of that is because we've forgotten the good news of the gospel. And we need to be reminded. So I want you to think about, do you really believe the good news? Do you really believe that? Because here are some lies that I think stop us from praying, which the gospel, the good news of Jesus, remind us simply aren't true. When you're tempted not to pray because of these reasons, I'm going to give you a few. I want you to remember the gospel. The first reason that we don't pray is because we think we don't need to. I've got this by myself. I don't need God. It's a lie. Without God, without Jesus, we can't do anything good. But lie number two, I think we often think, is that maybe we think God is too distant. I'm not sure if I can pray to God. Remember that God's actually taking the initiative to have a relationship with us. You see it in the coming of the Lord Jesus, but when we trust in Jesus, God also gives us his Spirit to dwell in us as his children. God actually couldn't be any closer to us than this. If you're tempted to believe that God is just too inaccessible, well, he's too far off. Remember the good news of Jesus, how he's died for us, and how he comes and lives in us by his Spirit. Or lie number three, we might think, God doesn't care. God just doesn't really care about my situation. Maybe think it's too small, or it's too serious, or whatever it is, we might feel like God doesn't care about this thing that I feel like I need to pray about. Let me just say, you can't look at Jesus on the cross and feel like God doesn't care, that God doesn't want to have a relationship with us, that God doesn't want us coming to him. He wouldn't have gone through all that if he didn't want the relationship with us. Everything at the cross demonstrates that God loves us and he wants relationship with us so much, even at the death of his only son. You ever tempted to believe the lie that God doesn't care about what's on your heart, remember the gospel and take it to him in prayer. Lie number four. Maybe we think God doesn't understand. Maybe you think God cares, but he just doesn't really understand. When you look at Jesus, you actually see a God who knows what it feels like to hurt. He understands what it's like to suffer, to be betrayed. He understands what it's like to have his friends disown him and leave him when he's most in need. He understands what it's like to be tempted. Jesus is not someone who's unable to sympathize with us. God knows what it's like to lose a son. If we're ever tempted to believe that God doesn't understand, couldn't possibly know what it feels like to be us. Look at the gospel. Look at the cross. Maybe lie number five, you might think God can't or God won't do anything about my situation. So you might think all things are possible for God and God knows how to give good gifts to his children. God may not always give us exactly what we ask for, but he does want to hear what's on our hearts, and we can trust him that he will do the right thing. He wants to hear our prayers, and he will either give us what we ask for, or he'll give us what we would ask for if we knew everything that he knows. Don't doubt God's goodness or his willingness to answer your prayers. He will answer our prayers if they're going to be good for us. Last line, I'm sure I haven't exhausted all the lies that we could be tempted to believe. But I know this is one that I feel all the time. Is, I think, yeah, but I sinned. How can I go to God now? Look what I've done. We all fall into sin. And we're ashamed and we feel like there's no way that we could come to God. And so we want to hide away in guilt and in isolation. Well, if you're feeling like that, I want to you to remember the gospel. Remember this. It's not our performance that establishes our relationship with God. We don't have access to God because we haven't sinned. That's not what qualifies us to come to God. When I'm tempted to feel like, when you're tempted to feel like, I couldn't possibly come to God because I've failed him. It's because I've forgotten what allows me to come. I've forgotten about what it is that allows me access to God. We come to God and we have relationship with God not on the basis of not being sinful. We come through the Son on the basis of his sacrifice. We come because of his perfect life, not mine, not yours. I don't know what's been going on in your heart and in your life, but if maybe you've fallen into sin of some particular kind that you're particularly guilty, like if you're feeling racked with guilt, I just want to encourage you that that's not a moment to hide away from God. That's a moment all the more to draw near to him. Just to finish up, I want to remind you of a really famous parable, Luke 15. The parable of the prodigal son. There's a moment where the son decides, after everything that he's done, after the way he's treated his father, that he's going to go back to his father. And he's kind of rehearsing his lines. He says, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And the father says to him, "Yeah, you're right. What on earth are you doing here? Rack off." No. That's not what happens, right? Let me read it to you if you don't believe me, if you think this couldn't possibly be true. Luke 15, verse 20. The son, he arose, he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and he ran and embraced him and he kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost and is found," and they begin to celebrate. I want to leave you with this, right? God wants us to draw near to him. He wants that. And he sent his son to make it possible. Our relationship with him is not secured by our performance. It's secured by the perfect life of Jesus, who was sacrificed in our place so that we could be forgiven, so that we can be adopted as sons and daughters of the living God. If you're feeling guilty, if you're feeling ashamed, because of your sin in your life, I want to encourage you, don't hide away from God. There's nothing good hiding away from God. There's nothing good being isolated from God. I want to encourage you, come to God. Confess your sin. Whatever you've done, there's nothing that you've done that's so bad that Jesus' death hasn't covered it. Confess your sin, and it will be washed clean. Let me read it to you again so we can remember the amazing news of the gospel. 1 John 2, verse 1 says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." How about I pray and give thanks to this great God for that amazing news. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you, that we can be real with you, that we don't have to hide our sin away from you. Thank you that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to take my punishment, the things I deserve because of my guilt, for our guilt. Thank you that we can have been fully forgiven because of what Jesus has done. Thank you that we can come to you, that we can pray to you, that we can have fellowship with you, we can share in relationship with you because of Jesus. And help us to remember this and help us to take advantage of this, that we can come to you. And I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.